Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe.
This president seems like a bad dude.
Stick to sports!
Thank you, every caller.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I have to, every time that liner plays, I have to say, because again, I'm just not trying to fight today. It's Saturday morning. That liner was about the president of Turkey or something. But I think Beards ended up cutting that. And he wants me to get into fights with people. I'm not. Like, if you want me to do a politics show, I totally will. Not here, but on, like, a podcast. And if you have a politics podcast, you can invite me on it. I'll come on.
In your defense, the president of Turkey is, like, a really terrible person.
Yeah, he is
a horrible human being.
I feel like that's a pretty bipartisan perspective. President of Turkey, not a cool dude. That liner, I don't say this president of Turkey, because in the larger context of that conversation, the context was clear.
My favorite liners have no context, like Mitch's puppy, like, I want to kill the puppies, basically. Like, that is just my favorite thing.
No, most of the no context ones are great. And then some of them, it's like, I can feel everyone reaching for their phones or, like, emailing, like, there's a lighter on your Saturday morning show.
People were calling, and then as you explained it, they all just dropped off. They're like, oh, okay. Like, that, I can agree with this. And then one person, though, was just like, no Turkey guy. He's all right.
He's fine. Yeah, no, it's perfect.
Actually, that guy was the president of Turkey, so he's
awesome.
Like,
thank you for listening.
I'm cool.
Thank you for listening. I wish you would resign. International politics aren't my absolute forte, but I feel like... Was it Enes Kanter?
Yeah.
Who was... Like, he got banned from Turkey for speaking out against him?
They were trying to... So he was being detained in what country was it? Because they were trying to extradite him back to Turkey so they could put him in jail. Because he's, like, public enemy number one there, basically.
Yeah, I can't... Yeah, he was outspoken against the president or whatever. Thank you for filling while I sneezed, by the way. A little peek behind the curtain of radio. Rudy's expertise on Enes Kanter and the president of Turkey.
Hey, man, he's a UK guy. Never played a minute for us,
really?
But he practiced.
Okay.
Yeah, he was at UK for 1 year, and he was deemed ineligible because he took like $1,000 more from his pro team than he was supposed to. So he wasn't allowed to play for the year.
I didn't know that.
His brother, amazingly enough, is at Xavier. The only reason why I know this is because I was running a UMKC game, and like, they kept saying Kanter. I'm like, I wonder if this is his brother. I'm like, yeah, this is when he was at like Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Then I just happened to see he transferred to Xavier. Quite the come up.
What a ridiculous thing for you to know.
Yeah, dude, like that is going from Turkey to Utah, I think at the time, till Milwaukee to wherever Xavier's at. It's in Ohio, but I don't know what the town is called.
Amazing.
I'm like 99% positive it's Ohio.
By the way, not a joke, the Browns have made another trade. This happened during the commercial break. The Browns are trading defensive tackle Danny Shelton to the Patriots for a conditional pick, according to Field Yates, Adam Schefter, and now everyone with a pulse.
Shelton was a pretty high pick, wasn't he?
I believe he was a first-round
pick. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was thinking first.
Yeah, he was a former Browns first-round pick. And that's interesting because that could have helped the Chiefs out if they were interested, depending on what this conditional pick is. Also, John Dorsey, more like John Dielsey. Sorry. And I know it was a bad pun. That's kind of my brand. I don't think anybody in Kansas City Sports Radio has dug out that specific niche for themselves. You want a bad pun in Kansas City media? I'm your guy. That's one place I will consistently deliver.
There's plenty with bad takes, but none with bad puns.
Yeah, those are mine. Yeah, those are mine exclusively. So that would have been an interesting move for the Chiefs. And I mentioned this a second ago about Alan Bailey. If the Chiefs do end up being able to bring in Muhammad Wilkerson, I'm guessing that would be brought along with the release of Alan Bailey to clear up that space for Wilkerson because it's a positional upgrade. But also, I've kind of expected the Chiefs to release Alan Bailey anyway. They haven't yet. So now I'm wondering if they're at least going to wait until they have the decision from Wilkerson. Cutting Alan Bailey would only cost $2 million. It would free up six. He's making eight this year against the cap, which is pretty pricey, but he's also a good defensive lineman. If he ends up playing out that contract this year, that doesn't bother me, but it is certainly something to keep an eye on. By the way, the Browns altogether, if you've missed this at any point, if you're really caught up in basketball yesterday or whatever, the Browns in the last 24 hours have made that trade with the Patriots. They also first traded for Jarvis Landry from the Miami Dolphins, and they're reportedly giving him a big contract extension. They traded for Tyrod Taylor from the Buffalo Bills, and they traded for Demaryius Randle with the Packers and sent DeShone Kizer to the Packers. Benjamin Albright on Twitter had him on my show a couple times, got good information. He tweeted, wow, this is exciting. So now the Packers have Brett Hundley and Brett Hundley, which is not very high praise for DeShone Kizer. There was a little bit of talk around the combine that maybe he would be a fit with the Chiefs. And I say maybe because like the source on this was not an actual reporter. It was just someone like at the combine. But it did make you think. Does it make sense? I wouldn't have hated it. At this point, it seems like it's a foregone conclusion that Chase Daniel is going to back up Patrick Mahomes just because he knows the offense and everything. I have been angry at this idea. I will reserve judgment for until we find out what the trade salary compensation will be for Chase Daniel. If you're basically going to pay him like $5 or $6 million to be a quarterback coach with a helmet, then I will rage against the machine. If it's $2 million, fine. I don't want to see him play, and I do want to see the Chiefs invest in a young backup quarterback that they can develop into a guy who, you know, either is tradable down the road or is playable down the road, or at least is a guy that you're happy to have behind Mahomes. This is how the NFL should work. We've seen this successfully from Andy Reid in the past. Andy Reid's a guy who's always drafting quarterbacks, even while he has a quarterback, because if you're able to drum up a price for those guys, then you've just turned a fifth-round pick into a second if you do it well. So something to keep an eye on.
I've got the guy, too.
Okay.
Nick Szymanek. Patrick Mahomes' backup at Tech.
It's perfect.
It makes so much, like, he's actually not bad. Like, and he backed up Patrick Mahomes.
It's
like,
the learning curve is perfect.
I want this guy, yeah.
Yes, it's great.
Szymanek's a pretty cool name, too.
Or go get Baker Mayfield and make him lose a starting job to Patrick Mahomes again.
I like that.
That's also pretty good,
right? Or, you know, you could start Baker, move Mahomes over to, like, hybrid tight end, you know, type. Like,
sure.
Trey Burton threw a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Patrick Mahomes throws a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
That's good.
I'm like
as a tight end.
Yes.
No, this is good. Okay,
Patrick
I like
Mahomes
this.
And Travis Kelce is your dual tight end. I mean, we know the Chiefs love dual tight ends.
That's true.
Mahomes and Kelce is your dual tight ends with Baker Mayfield, you know, throwing the ball around.
Also draft Lamar Jackson. Turn him into a receiver.
I
like
love
every
this.
Old white oh, guy man. In the NFL wants this. To do to Lamar Jackson.
You know, it makes sense. You know, he is a little short at 6'3", like Bill Polian said.
Also, he only runs one of the most pro-ready offenses in college football.
I don't know if I've told you like how much I just despise Bill Polian, but like I
feel like I get it. I mean, but I do want your explanation.
So like one, it's the most recent thing is
also hold on, timeout. We're producing the show on the air again, which I'm totally fine with. I need you to turn off my microphone so I can blow my nose while you talk about dislike. Actually, you know what? You can leave my microphone on. But just the sound you're going to hear. Rudy is going to explain why he hates Bill Polian while I blow my nose because I think it's officially allergy season. Go ahead.
Oh, so the most recent thing is obviously calling Lamar Jackson, saying Lamar Jackson I think is a little too short to play quarterback in the NFL.
I'm also making the noise that Bill Polian makes whenever yes. he talks about Lamar Jackson.
This is a live listening.
Yeah,
who is
this is audio
three.
From Bill Polian and Rudy's interpretation.
He going back, he said, "You know, well, we actually did have a first round grade on Tom Brady." Shut up!
Oh,
no, you didn't.
That's the worst.
Yes.
Oh, that's the most bull bleep
he
anything
is,
ever.
Like now, occasionally I get him and Mac Brown mixed up, but they're basically the exact same person.
Yeah, I think that's right. Have you ever seen the two of them in the same room?
I'm pretty sure like there are things like I've heard Mac Brown say where I'm like, I hate you, Bill Pullman, but it was Mac Brown. Okay. Or vice versa.
Sure.
Where I thought it was Mac Brown talking, but it was Bill Pullman. But like those are the two big things that like really stick out to me. He had one more. I can't think of what it is off the top of my head now, but he is constantly just saying just like Bill Pullman clearly does not do his job. He's just taking a paycheck, like, at this point.
I'm trying to find I just Googled Mac Brown, Bill Pullman, just to see if I can find a picture of the two of them in the same room at the same time. I haven't found it yet.
They are I think they're essentially, I mean, they're both old white guys who are not, they should not be, I think Mac mostly does radio, Pullman does mostly TV. Neither of them should be working for ESPN.
Here's a tweet from SiriusXM NFL, April 29th, 2014. Bill Pullman, Johnny Manziel has magic. If you're in the Browns draft room, you owe it to fans to consider taking him at 4. First round grade on Tom Brady. That is the most garbage.
I hate that so much.
That's so dumb. Because if you have a first round grade on a quarterback and he's there in the fifth, then you. I just talked about this. You take the quarterback.
I don't care if you have Peyton Manning. You draft Tom. You would have drafted Tom Brady before the sixth round.
And then trade him to the Patriots for a second.
Heck, if you had drafted Tom Brady, maybe you've won 4 or 5. Like,
no kidding.
Even if Tom Brady never starts for you, Tom Brady's not the one knocking you out of the playoffs every year.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
I hate Bill Pullman.
That's like in fantasy football in the playoffs, and there's like all the good defenses our own, then you have a good defense also, but there's one good matchup on the waiver wire. You pick that defense up anyway, just so your opponent can't pick them up and start them. Could have done that with Tom Brady.
I just clicked on a link, a recent one, Bill Pullman, and this one's not totally absurd, but he definitely, like, his general point is right on, but he, of course, takes this way too far. So he calls Nick Foles an icon and says the Eagles should ask for 2 first-round and 2 second-round picks.
I mean,
which, again, I understand the basic premise of, you should ask for a lot for Nick Foles if you're going to trade him. Like, he just won you a Super Bowl.
Two firsts and two seconds. How many quarterbacks in football would legitimately get that? 10?
Yeah. That,
maybe? Not even, because I wouldn't give that up for whatever, like, Matt Stafford.
Yeah,
he's probably the 10th best. He's whatever, like, the 10th best quarterback. And Derek Carr. Well, those guys are too expensive.
I guess Brady, if you think he's going to play for 5 more years.
No,
but
you do it for Brady or Rodgers. And Deshaun Watson and the young guy. And I mean, Goff, man, I don't know. By the way, here's an unbelievable headline. Jason Whitlock thinks Bill Pullman is 98% right about Lamar Jackson.
That's another guy I don't like.
I just saw Rudy just threw his arms in the air and just mouthed, yeah, of course he does.
I don't know what happened to Whitlock. Like, once he left KC, Whitlock went crazy.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I can't get over this Bill Pullman or Lamar Jackson short thing. He's 6'3". That is, like, the size. Like, that is a good size for a quarterback. It's not Josh Allen, 6'5", 250.
Why does no one think that Baker Mayfield needs to play tight end? Baker Mayfield's 6'1". Oh my God, hold on. Time out. Bill Pullman loved Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel, according to the internet, is 6'0". Are you kidding me? The hypocrisy. That's so good. That is so good. He thinks Lamar Jackson is too short and Johnny Manziel had magic. Lamar Jackson's 3 inches taller than Johnny Manziel is, you dope.
I wonder what's different about those two. I really don't like this guy, man. I really don't. Like, you were, and you know what? I'm even going to say it. Like, yeah, you drafted Peyton Manning. You got that right. Outside of that, like, that's why you're considered a good GM. You got Peyton Manning. If you didn't have Peyton, and you even didn't even probably maximize on Peyton Manning. You only won one Super Bowl with Peyton Manning.
Lamar Jackson played in the ACC. Is that the difference?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. Got it in one.
Their offense, yo, Manziel also ran obviously a pro style
right.
offense.
Oh, that's so good. what else is different about Lamar Jackson, Johnny Manziel? I don't.
I just found the Jason Whitlock thinks Bill Polian's 98% right. It's, one, how are you 98%? Like, at that point, you're either
you're
like.
You're right or wrong, yeah. Aren't you? Like, the subhead of that, whatever, was like, does Lamar Jackson need to shift to receiver to have a chance at success in the NFL? Also, like, why would you think that Lamar Jackson would be a good receiver? Can I ask that?
I mean, like, again, he's fast, he's 6'3", but, like, he's never played wide receiver before. Like, you don't know if he can run a route or if he can catch a football.
There are so many fast 6'3" guys who suck in the NFL. Like, that's...
I just found another one.
Go ahead.
Hall of Famer Bill Polian says Terrell Owens and Randy Moss don't belong. Maybe the greatest receiver, like the greatest receiver of our generation,
yeah.
Randy Moss.
Yes.
Most dominant receiver I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He doesn't belong.
Doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame?
And yeah, doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame, him and Terrell Owens.
No, of course not. They didn't respect the game like Bill Polian, who is telling one of the most magical quarterbacks in college football that he needs to play receiver to succeed.
Does he think that he probably does think Lamar Jackson could get to the Hall of Fame, though?
As a receiver.
It says that it's because they were labeled divas during their careers. So if you're labeled a
you're
diva.
You're a diva, Bill Polian. Also, I forgot that this happened, that Lamar Jackson didn't run the 40 at the combine. I was looking to see how fast it was to commit to receivers, and I forgot he didn't do it because he's... wants to be a quarterback.
Which is smart, yeah.
Yeah,
like, I wouldn't be.
It is smart. Don't bother.
I saw somebody tweet out, like, I wish I could remember who it was. Like, he was basically saying, yeah, if I'm Lamar Jackson, anytime I get asked about the move to receiver, I'm responding with, did you ask Josh Allen to move to tight end?
It's really
and
good.
I'm like, that is a great response.
Yeah.
Because Lamar Jackson's a far more accomplished quarterback than Josh Allen ever was in college.
Yep.
But Josh Allen physically built like a tight end, too.
Yes.
But Josh Allen, like, wasn't... I mean, like...
What's the difference? I can't find the difference.
He couldn't complete passes at Wyoming against, like, much significant worse.
He's going to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah. He'll get drafted ahead of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think you're right. I know Terrell Pryor made the switch successfully. But even he, like, remember his last quarterback... Terrell Pryor's last quarterback... tryout or whatever was with the Chiefs. I think, and then he went and signed with the Browns as a receiver. NFL draftees have so little control over anything whenever they come into the league. Like, being able to say, no, I'm playing this position, that makes a lot of sense. Like, that's the place where you get to claim some control. I don't get to say where I'm going. I don't get to say what I'm making. This isn't free agency. This is not a free market. You are drafting me, and something like this is not how anything in corporate America works. But it's just the system we have. I'm glad that Lamar Jackson is willing to say, "Listen, don't bother if you don't want me to play the position that I've been playing my entire life." Like, I just don't understand how does Bill Polian. Other people in this conversation not understand how silly it sounds to say, like, oh, he's too athletic to play quarterback. He's too fast.
Especially in today's NFL.
Yes.
Where you're running more. I mean, the Chiefs just basically ran the most college-y offense we've seen in the NFL.
With Alex Smith.
I mean, Cam Newton is I think, what, either the most or second most rushing touchdown since, like, 2012?
It's something like that, yeah.
Yeah, like, this is the era to have. An overly athletic quarterback. If you can have an overly athletic quarterback.
Yeah, you can't. You know why you can't? Because the NFL is currently populated by aliens. Like, Aaron Donald isn't a human being. That's not... Humans don't work that way. Most of the NFL is exactly that. Most of the NFL... Odell Beckham is an alien. Odell Beckham is... He's a genetic experiment that escaped the lab. And you know who else is? Literally everyone else in football. I saw yesterday at Power and Light, I walked past Eric Fisher. Whenever I walked past Eric Fisher, I had this thought as a normal human being. I walked past Eric Fisher and thought, wow, he's bigger than I thought he was going to be. Like, I felt like a dwarf. He was a giant. I don't know. He's probably like 6'7". He should play receiver.
There's also, you know, like Cam Chancellor is built like an NFL defensive end playing safety.
Yes.
Like,
it's
insane. Guys, yeah. Like, these guys are freaks.
Yes.
Myles Garrett is like 6'7", 270 pounds, and can run faster than probably half the quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, you need quarterbacks who are athletic and who can run. They will die.
They're going to die. Yes.
Unless you're like Tom Brady and you're just really good at like making one step that somehow makes you free.
And you can shoot passes out of your armpit.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, just like, doof, doof.
You
just like
have
a Nerf
to
gun.
Be a, you have to be one of the all-time elites or like athletic.
Yeah, that's the option. I've Googled it, by the way. Eric Fisher is 6'7". And
also, Aaron Rodgers should probably have to be a receiver then.
Oh, that's
too.
A good point. Yeah, he's too athletic. Eric Fisher is 6'7".
Nobody said that about... I hate Bill
Let
Paul,
me anyway. Talk about Eric Fisher for 2 seconds. I want to talk about how small he made me feel. I walked past him, and I don't think of Eric Fisher on an NFL scale as being one of the giants. He's not. On an NFL scale, he's not. But compared to me, a 5'10 human next to this 6'7 alien, it was like, oh yeah, this is, like, we do not understand what we're watching. The first time this happened to me, I think it was Tyson Jackson's rookie year, and I was at the combine just as a fan, obviously, because I was like, you know, 8 years old, and Tyson Jackson was signing autographs and stuff. And it was just like this moment of like, oh my goodness, like and Tyson Jackson ended up doing very little in the end. I mean, he had a decent NFL career. I think he's out of the league now. I'll double check. But he spent some years in the NFL, but was never anything like special. He was a high pick and, you know, stuff the run summer or whatever. And Tyson Jackson is a mountain. Eric Fisher is a mountain. These are mountainous people. We do not understand what we're watching. It's just we get the sky cam, and oh yeah, all these guys are basically the same size, so they must be normal size, like me. And it's wild. So having a tremendously athletic quarterback is not a problem.
I just found something great.
Okay, spit.
This is Bill Polian now. Talking about Johnny Manziel. Not from too long, from February. Cleveland got what they deserved. People did their homework on Johnny Manziel, as everybody will, and Baker Mayfield. They were well aware that Johnny had problems that might affect his playing in the National Football League, and Cleveland ignored it, so they got what they deserved.
Unbelievable. USA Today put these pieces together before I did just now, by the way. For the win. Bill Polian's latest Lamar Jackson take proves his opinions on quarterbacks are worthless. Because he's short, a little bit slight, and clearly not the thrower the other guys are. The accuracy isn't there. And then it goes back to the SiriusXM tweet from 2014 saying that Johnny Manziel has magic. Consider taking him at 4. Ooh, somebody else tweeted, Bill Polian, this is back in 2014, Bill Polian said Blake Bortles would be the first quarterback he'd take in this year's draft. Yeah, I mean, Bill Polian got really lucky on one quarterback, and then he's like this genius. He had the first pick. Well, see, he was there when they actually drafted Peyton Manning, right? Or did he inherit him? Oh, no, this is worth double-checking. I was going to ask you for the music, but I don't know. Do you even know where that Jeopardy music is? This is bringing ESPN Kansas City to 810. Whatever we stall over on the show, almost entirely sports, just look it up on the podcast. Whenever we stall over there, I asked Beards to give me some music, and he just always plays the Jeopardy, like, whatever, for the final Jeopardy music, while we have to look this up. And there it is! Good work, Rudy. Just making sure that we got this right. Also, Jeffrey, we'll get to your call here in just a second. But I need to know this.
It was 98 draft. How long? When?
Yeah, he got there in 97.
Okay.
I just found out another thing about Bill Point that makes
killing
a lot
music. Whoa, killing music.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
His first job, like as an executive in the NFL, pro scout for the Chiefs for 4 years. It makes too much sense now.
Let's go to the phones. Jeffrey, welcome into Sports Saturday. How are you?
Yes, I was in O'Hare Airport years ago in Chicago, and Dan Marino was in there, and he was the biggest guy in the whole airport.
Right? Do you know how tall? I mean, I guess I can Google it right now. Let's see. Dan Marino is, well, I'm going to have to keep digging, aren't I? But it's crazy like that. I don't ever think of Dan Marino. He's 6'4". I don't ever think of Dan Marino for a single second as being the biggest guy in an airport. But it's just the superhuman.
He was super wide. His wife was with him, and she looked like a midget.
Oh, that's funny. That's a good story. Anything else, Jeffrey?
No, take care.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. The Dan Marino is a great example of like, oh yeah, Dan Marino is the thickest dude in this airport right now. What? That Dan Marino? Yeah. He's 6'4 in a brick house. Okay, if you say so. That's awesome. I love it. Chris, you're on Sports Saturday. What's up?
Hey, man. I just think you ought to do your homework before you, and I'm not even a big Bill Polian fan, but you ought to do your homework before you rip on the guy's career. If you remember the Buffalo Bills of the 90s, that was Bill Polian. When they went to 4 Super Bowls, you know, remember Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, all those guys? You know, the guy did something right.
Right, fair. In a completely different NFL, in fairness.
I mean, yeah, like, the guy is maybe long in the tooth, and, you know, a lot of these commentators that are on TV are maybe a little bit out of their element. You know, the league is changing. But I'm just encouraging you to maybe do your homework before you make some of these wild accusations.
Were any of the accusations wild? The same thing. Did we say anything wild? I think we've pointed out all of his recent opinions on quarterbacks and draftees have been largely terrible.
Yes, there's a lot of hit and misses from these guys, and I don't know why these guys get their their credibility, and they can make some of these wild claims. But there's always a lot of hit and misses, and I don't get paid to. I'm not a defender of these people because
there's
always a lot of hits and misses, and I always throw shots from the cheap seats, just like you guys, fans. We're typically, we like to do that. That's what we do for fun,
right?
And you guys do it for a living from the media, but it's just fun. It's just because when you guys talk about Peyton Manning and that was his only thing, I'm just
no. That's absolutely fair. That's absolutely fair. We should acknowledge right. We should acknowledge the Bills days. I'm completely okay with that. I accept.
That's the only thing that I called about. I'm just going to leave you guys alone and have a good day.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you for the correction that Bill Polian did have success in the 80s and 90s. Since also still the one Super Bowl. And the NFL is very random. It's unfair to say that a Super Bowl is the only thing that matters. Because Peyton Manning's one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen. But fair enough. Fair enough. I'll no longer omit the Bills days. That was unfair of Rudy.
I'll slightly give him, even a little bit more credit, to be fair. He helped the Panthers when they were the expansion team get them off and started. Now, he didn't get them to the Super Bowl, but he got them off and started. I don't believe he got them to the Super Bowl.
They went to the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
NFC Championship. Was that the DeLome year?
No, I think DeLome would have been right, because he was just there 95-97.
Who was their quarterback in the NFC Championship game if it wasn't Jake DeLome? No, he was a Super Bowl. He got there
Collins.
In the Super Bowl. Oh, okay. DeLome got there for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. DeLome was a Super Bowl. That was 2001, 2002.
I'll tell you what. There's no one in the city who's done as much Rams, Bills, Colts, and Rams talk as we have today. Did I say Rams twice?
Yeah, but they should be
they
said
should
twice.
Be said twice. I meant to add another team. I feel like I missed something. Whatever. Nobody in the city is telling you about teams you don't care about quite like we are here on Sports Radio 810, world's hottest beats. All right. We've given Bill Polian hit the credit that he's due from years past, which is absolutely fair. I absolutely accept that. And I will now go back to telling you that everything he's done since, like, Peyton Manning, they underachieved with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning winning one Super Bowl is his, like, that's the one year that Peyton Manning was just like, well, we're going to do it. We're just going to go ahead and make it
they
happen.
They played the Bears with Rex Grossman in the Super Bowl. Right. Like, let's just, like, that's the team they finally beat.
The defense was very good. But also, yeah, Rex Grossman.
Kyle Orton was on that team, too. Just the
good point.
Yeah. I think Kyle Orton, like, started the season, but then Grossman got back from an injury and played in the Super Bowl.
Also, nobody keeps up to date with the latest Tyson Jackson news quite like we do. He did not play last year. But he did end up with an 8-year NFL career, which is wild. Like, that's a good NFL career. And again, just like a brick house. And also, 3 inches shorter than Eric Fisher. All right, yeah. So we've got, here on Sports Radio 810, we've got your Bill Polian takes. We got your Tyson Jackson career updates. We'll tell you why the Los Angeles Rams are so fun. We'll tell you about Lamar Jackson being a receiver and Johnny Manziel being plenty tall while Lamar Jackson is too short. We've got you literally just across the board. Whenever we come back, we might talk about Albert Wilson just because I know we can.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe.
I have a millennial-sized attention span.
On Sports Radio 810.
Because there's still a naked baby on the microphone across from me.
WHB.
You don't want zero problems, big fella.
Update here on Twitter that apparently the Raiders are also interested in Muhammad Wilkerson, but he's visiting with the Chiefs today. He is absolutely getting his free agency due by just trying to get as many free dinners as possible, which is the way you do it. Like, if you're a free agent, man, you don't get this very often. I would visit all 31 teams other than the one that had just let me go. Like, oh, you know what? Actually, I really enjoy Detroit this time of year. Like, yeah, we're only going to be able to offer you we're going to offer you the veteran minimum for 1 year. Like, okay, well, let's talk about it. By the way, let's go to your finest restaurant. Like, that's how you do it. So good, very good work there by Muhammad Wilkerson. I think there's a real chance that the Chiefs make an actual legitimate run at him. I don't think they're going to bother visiting with free agents that they don't actually think could be a fit here. And it makes sense. Again, I would think it probably comes with the release of Alan Bailey following the signing of Muhammad Wilkerson, if that does end up happening. But we'll see. Also, again, a couple days ago, on an ESPN Kansas City, and I'm just going to do the whole plug thing really quick. ESPN Kansas City is 810 sister station, 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. My show's on from 4 to 6, called Almost Entirely Sports. Most importantly, just go get the podcasts. It's on demand. Wherever you get your podcast, search Almost Entirely Sports. And if you go back to Wednesday, I talked to Seth Kaiser of Arrowhead Pride, who always has amazing Chiefs information and analysis. And that's where our Earl Thomas conversation started. And then, like, a couple hours later, the report came out that the Seahawks were willing to trade Earl Thomas. So I'm pretty sure we started that. Got that ball rolling. But I talked to him about Albert Wilson because he just did, again, a couple days ago, a film review of Albert Wilson, which you can read on Arrowhead Pride. And I always feel really good whenever Seth does a breakdown of some film like that that ends up confirming a hunch of mine. And this happened again with Albert Wilson, where Albert Wilson is very comfortable in the offense, and he, like, is a good blocker. And he's always in the right space. He finds the soft spot in zones, and he communicates well with the quarterbacks. But he's thoroughly unspectacular. It's kind of the Albert Wilson experience. It makes sense that this is the result of the film review. That's very much what I saw from him, not just last year, but over his career in Kansas City. Last year was his career year. But I'm not super stoked about paying Albert Wilson on his career year. And I know that he had a tremendous game with Mahomes in Week 17, but Albert Wilson was the only, like, first-team starter out there with Mahomes in that game. Or was out there as a pass catcher. And he was great in limited snaps. And another guy we talked to occasionally, Pete Sweeney. I think Pete's on with Cody sometimes. Also of Arrowhead Pride. He found the stat that Albert Wilson had whatever his, like, I'm ballparking this, it was like 12 receptions and like 24 snaps or something wild. We had a very high rate of being targeted by Mahomes. I think with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and even Chris Conley and probably another weapon of some sort out there, I think Mahomes will be just perfectly fine giving it to those guys instead of Albert Wilson. I would be surprised to see the Chiefs being a real player for like an Allen Robinson or a Sammy Watkins. And in a vacuum, I would prefer Robinson to Watkins personally. Also, though, right now, Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill are the same age, which was a stunning thing for me to learn because it feels like Sammy Watkins has been in this league for a decade at this point. But he was traded, and now he's going to be hitting free agency, and he's had all the injuries. So it feels like Sammy Watkins has been in this league forever. But they're both 24 right now, if memory serves. And I think Watkins will turn 25 before the season, but still, I found that interesting. And so I could see the Chiefs trying to play for a receiver that plays to Mahomes' strengths a little bit more. Brett Veach admitted as much, which I was really surprised to hear. Not because it gives away some sort of trade secret, but because GMs are often just very close to the chest. And that wasn't the case with Albert Wilson, with Brett Veach talking about the weapons around Patrick Mahomes, not specifically Albert Wilson, but he did also talk about Albert Wilson and say, hey, we know that Matt Nagy, he's in Matt's in Chicago, whenever he was asked about Albert Wilson, he knows that Chicago is going to be a place that Albert Wilson will be sought after and should be. It makes sense because Mitch Trubisky needs somebody to throw to that knows the offense that Matt Nagy's bringing into Chicago there. So, there's that. But there was a quote from Seth's breakdown of Albert Wilson that I thought especially stuck with me. So the reality is there just wasn't a ton that he was asked to do that I can't picture a plethora of other receivers doing. And by the end of it, it sounded like Seth was describing Chris Conley, but like Chris Conley with a lower ceiling. So I asked Seth straight up, I said, hey, well, who would you rather have? Straight up, 1 year, Chris Conley or Albert Wilson? He said Chris Conley, because Chris Conley can do all the things that Albert Wilson's doing, but he also has a little bit of a higher ceiling, even coming off an injury. And I'm with that. I would explore moving Conley into the slot, letting him do what Wilson did this year. Don't pay Albert Wilson. And if you are going to pay somebody, pay a number two receiver that can continue to stretch the field. Or if the Browns are still in one of those moods, I'd be extremely interested in knowing what they would need for Josh Gordon. I am very much interested in adding Josh Gordon to this offense. And they might say, hey, yeah, we're going to need a third-round pick. I don't know. That's a risk. It's 1 year. You're going to have to pay him. What do you pay him? Do you give him a long-term deal? Got all the issues in his past. First of all, though, I'm down to sign NFL players whose biggest issues are marijuana because we're just moving societally in a way. That's not a big deal. But Josh Gordon had other big like drug and alcohol problems. It seems like he's very much like on the up and up now, but I understand the hesitance. I think that's fair. But I would also be happy to be the team that is the one that gives him the chance to play post-rehab. I know it's a risk, and I think if he gets suspended again, it could be a you're just done situation for Josh Gordon. But there aren't 10 more dynamic receivers in football than Josh Gordon whenever he's actually on the field. So I would be stupendously interested in that. But one way or another, I think the Chiefs are going to probably they're going to be bringing back some sort of weapon, and maybe it's bringing back Albert Wilson or bringing in somebody new. But either way, that's something to keep an eye on. Again, they're working out, or Mohamed Wilkerson is visiting, at least, Kansas City today, or with the Chiefs today. So keep an eye on that as we go. And we'll be back tomorrow here for Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Prisco. That's Rudy Salazar. Take a break. Wrap up shop. I mean, I'm out of coffee now, and I can feel my throat finally starting to just seize up on itself. I'm starting to move from raspy Barry White into who's the comedian with the unbelievably raspy voice that was also the voice of the bird in Cyber Chase?
Gilbert Godfrey.
Thank you. I do know him best as the voice of the bird in Cyber Chase. Did you watch Cyber Chase, Rudy?
I didn't see Cyber Chase.
Ugh. PBS had some of the absolute, some of the best animated kid shows of all time. You never like rolled into some Mind Miguel or whatever that cat's name was. There was that show with like the Asian cat.
For me, it was all about Nickelodeon and Disney. Like, I had my Rugrats. I had my Boy Meets World.
Oh, sorry, my parents cared about my development and didn't just throw me to the damn Nickelodeon wolves.
Okay, first off, Boy Meets World, arguably the greatest show of all time.
Who was arguing that?
Still holds up.
Who's arguing that?
Everybody's arguing that. Like, if you were 27, like 29, like, that's your show. Like, you grew up on, you learned how to be a man off Boy Meets World. Like that's just your show.
Plus, Topanga was banging.
The timing on that was very good.
I'm telling you, it's on Hulu. Here's the thing. I'll totally admit, within the last roughly, I think, 2 months, I just got done with it again. I watched the whole thing through again. It's still great.
Is it Shia LaBeouf?
No, it's not Shia LaBeouf.
Who's the lead in that?
No, Shia LaBeouf was Even Stevens. Another show I grew up on, Even Stevens.
Who was the lead in Boy Meets World?
Oh, God, what is this?
I know.
Give me
you
one second.
You don't know? You know what I think the greatest show of all time is? Breaking Bad with that guy who, oh, man. Dang. Oof.
I'm terrible with names, okay?
Come on.
And I always get...
Isn't it not in the opening credits?
Yes, it's Ben Savage.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I always get him... There's another guy who basically looks exactly like him, whose name I also can't remember, and I always get these two mixed up all the time. But, yeah, Ben Savage. No, the only thing he did was Boy Meets World, and because I went to look at this when it came back, and then he, like, stopped acting to go work for, like, a senator. Like, he graduated from, like, Stanford Law, and now he's doing, I think it's Girl Meets World now. They reboot it where they're like, a family now. Like, Fuller House, basically. That is an intriguing acting career. Star of a sitcom for like 8 years. Work for a senator. Back to acting.
Are you done?
This kind of sounds like you're alive in a way. I can see you pulling some
off. Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, for sure. Eventually, radio's going to betray me. And I'm going to... I know! Oh, my... Okay, all right. Oh, man. Okay, listen. You listening right now. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to Reed, I'm talking to you listening now. We're going to part the kimono here. You're going to get a peek behind the scenes. You're going to see more than you wanted to, and I'm sorry, but it's how it works. I'm holding the microphone right now like I'm freaking Sway. Rudy finished his Boy Meets World spiel, turned off his microphone, and then immediately gave me the break sign. Hey, Rudy. I was ready to break 2 minutes ago before you started explaining the acting and life career of Ben Savage. Something I literally, and I mean this so literally, something I literally could not care less about. So yeah, Rudy, I know we needed to take a break. We still do. I was full steam ahead, headed to that break. And then you came in with these spicy Boy Meets World takes. This is your fault. Ben Savage.
This is Sports Saturday.
I think we did two really good hours.
With Joshua Briscoe.
And we also did this hour.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You know what? I think we might have done 3 good hours today. It flew by. It really did. And we'll be back tomorrow. We'll do it again. 3 more hours. Sports Sunday.
I'll have plenty more Bill Pullian by then.
Yes, perfect. By the way, coming up here at 1, Brad Porter takes over. He's talking a bunch of college basketball, which is what literally everyone on the planet except for us is doing today. We'll talk about it tomorrow, I guess. But talking to Tony Caridi, the voice of the Mountaineers. To Tony Caridi, not Cardi B. I read that and I was like, oh, Tony Cardi B. This is amazing. She's the voice of the Mountaineers and then also has like the biggest song in the world. Good for her. Nothing? All right, fine. Then Andy Sweeney of ESPN 680 in Louisville is going to come on with him, talk SEC. And then Jesse Newell of The Star will be in talking about the Jayhawks in the Big 12 championship game today. So maybe this was not on purpose, but maybe for you today, this was your sanctuary for getting a breather in between all of the college basketball you're getting punched in the face with right now. Got a little bit of a breather here for 3 hours, and then we'll send you right back in to the back into the wash, and you can enjoy the end of the Big 12 tournament today. And we'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk about whatever happens tomorrow. I'm sure. Hope you've enjoyed Saturday sport. No, let's see. Boy Meets World Saturday. That's what this ended up being this hour, because Rudy is...
Bill Meets Saturday. Bill Meets Sports Saturday. Bill Meets Sports World. I'm getting there.
Bill Meets Sports World is it. That's it. That's the winner. Welcome to Boy Meets... Or no, Bill. Welcome to Bill Meets Sports World. I told you at the beginning of the show I was drinking whiskey all show. And now you just noticed it as I tried to stumble out. Boy Meets... Boy Polian Meets... Shia LaBeouf, Saturday. By the way, during the commercial break, Rudy kind of like meekly stumbled in with, you know who's a guy that intrigues me, like kind of like in free agency? Terrell Pryor. And I just like screamed like, yes! I forgot about this. Whenever Tyrod Taylor got traded yesterday, at first, for some reason, I saw Tyrod Taylor, and I thought Terrell Pryor, and I was bummed, because I think Terrell Pryor is a perfect candidate for this team, because he's not demanding a long-term deal. He just did nothing with Washington. He was great in Cleveland. How often do you say that out loud? He was great in Cleveland, and I feel like Washington never figured out how to use him. I would love to see Terrell Pryor added to this Mahomes offense next year. A one-year prove-it deal, maybe there's an option for a second year. Totally on board with bringing in Terrell Pryor. Also, that way we can corner the market on forcing black quarterbacks to play other positions. In honor of Bill Polian, I would like Terrell Pryor to come to Kansas City, please. Back to Kansas City, which again, I believe was... I mentioned Terrell Pryor earlier, actually. I believe Kansas City was the last place where he tried out as a quarterback before ultimately switching. The more you know. It means nothing. You learn nothing from that. So, that's the only instance I can think of that it worked. Except for Tim Tebow switching to baseball, which clearly an enormous success. Thanks for listening to however much the last 3 hours you got. If you missed anything and you want to see, or I guess just hear more of it, the podcast will be on 810WHB.com, or I will tweet them out. And I'll tweet them out at JB Briscoe. We'll be back tomorrow for Sports Sunday. Until then, thank you, Rudy Salazar, for lending your loving producing hands. Hating Bill Polian, thank you for bringing that to the show. I'm Joshua Briscoe. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye, Mom!